The first reading today, we have what I consider to be one of the most terrifying readings in all of Scripture, and that is that he dies a mere youth who reaches about 100 years. It's like, I don't know about you, I don't want to be living over 100 years. You see these people that want to live to be 150 or 200, and they're crazy. They have no belief in the afterlife. They don't believe that there's anything beyond this life. And so somehow they think if they can clone themselves or if they can do some ridiculous thing to live longer, it's like, no, the goal is to get to heaven. Why wait down here? But you could try and find ways of weaseling around it until you realize this isn't Isaiah. The precision of Isaiah's prophecies are unbelievable. And so we can't discount it. So all we can say is maybe this is what the other side of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart's going to be like. After all, when we look at the shortening of people's lives back in the book of Genesis, it seems to correspond with the increase of sin. And so the more that sin grows, the less people are going to be living. The fewer years that they're going to be living, and the more health problems they're going to have. Because, obviously, sin brings chaos into God's order, whether that's the order of creation or whether it's the order of our own person. So if on the other side of the triumph, everyone is actually living according to the will of God, then sin isn't going to be much of a problem, and people can live long lives. And if that's the case, and people are actually living holy lives, being alive for a long time wouldn't be a bad thing. In fact, it would give you longer time to be able to grow in holiness, which means that when you get to heaven, you'll have that much higher of a position because you had the opportunity to grow even more. So in that sense, it'll be a great blessing. And we look at it and say, well, once again, how can this happen? For us, it is impossible. But for the Lord, all he has to do is speak the word. In the meantime, we have to be able to look at what Jesus says in the gospel. And he said, unless you people see a sign, you will not believe. That is where we are at. As our Lord said to the people in his own time, no sign is going to be given. We are in a time of testing. We're in a time where God is asking us if we are going to be faithful in the midst of not being able to see extraordinary things. Yeah, if we open our eyes enough, we'll see extraordinary things happening all around us. But we just tend to look at them as ordinary and forget about them. But this is the time of testing. We're going to be able to see extraordinary things as time goes along. And when the triumph of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart happens, we are going to see some really extraordinary things happen. In the meantime, brace yourself, because it's not about signs and wonders. It is about fidelity. It is about looking at what our Lord said and to recognize we don't need any more signs. How do we know that the Lord hasn't abandoned us? Because he's right there in the Blessed Sacrament. How do we know that he's real? If you're asking that question, we are in big trouble. What does he have to do? What does he have to show? What does he have to say? It's all there. Remember in St. John's Gospel, he said, all these things are written down so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so if we have questions, we simply need to go back and read the Scriptures. They're all there. And more than anything, what we need is to make sure that our relationship with the Lord is in good order. What's your prayer life look like? If our prayer life isn't in good order, then that means what we're about to endure, we're going to try to do all by ourselves. And I don't think I need to even try to tell you how well that's going to work, It's not. We have to be focused on Him. This isn't a question of whether He's going to work signs and wonders. Because as I've told you before, signs and wonders are sort of like the fireworks on the 4th of July. We ooh and aah at them, and then they're over. And it's like, well, when's the next one? It's like, wasn't that enough? Didn't they prove it to you? Oh, no. Now I need more. I need more. We don't need anything. Because we already know the truth. He's already made Himself very clear. So maybe we just need to flip the script. Maybe He's looking at us and saying, I'm looking for a sign from you. He's already given plenty of signs and wonders. Now He's looking for our response. What sign are we going to give Him that we really believe? That we're really going to be faithful? We'd like to be able to think, well, when push comes to shove, then I'll, you know, then this is what I'll do. Well, we better be doing it when push doesn't come to shove, or when push does come to shove, there is no way we're going to be doing it. So we need to get our prayer life in order now. We can't put it off. Otherwise, it's going to be too late. So we need to come to Him just like this man did. We need to believe. He spoke and it happened. We don't need signs and wonders. We just need the Lord. He is with us. The question that is always there is, are we with Him? He hides Himself. It's part of the purification in the spiritual life. He doesn't allow Himself to be heard or felt or anything like that. It's dry and it's dark and it's difficult, and we feel like we've been abandoned. And that's where faith has to come in. But remember, St. John of the Cross says that there is no more secure way than to walk in the darkness of faith. It feels like it's the most insecure. We don't even know when we put our foot out where we're going to step because we can't see anything. But because we can't see anything, that means we must rely on the Lord. We must trust in Him. That's why this is the most secure way. Because then we're not trying to do it ourselves. If we're doing it ourselves, that is the most insecure way. Because we know ourselves too well. We mess up pretty much everything we put our hands on. But the Lord is perfect. He doesn't mess up anything. So the more perfectly we rely on Him, the more perfectly we conform ourselves to Him, the more perfectly this is all going to work out. So we need to trust. We need to have faith. The promises that He's made are all going to be fulfilled. And Jesus even said that. Remember, not one jot or tittle will pass from the law till everything is fulfilled. Well, I don't know about you, but we haven't fulfilled this yet. Back when David was writing 1,000 years before Jesus came, he said, life is 70 years or 80 for those who are strong. And here we are with all of our medical technology and all the advancements. Yeah, we're about the same boat. Maybe it's moved up a few years, but that's about it. The Lord's talking about if you die at 100, you're going to be thought to be a mere youth. And you're going to be cursed if you don't even make it to 100. That's the promise God has made. It will be fulfilled. Because there's no way that it can't be. Or God wouldn't have told us. That's where we're headed. That's up the road. Right now, we don't need to worry about that. We need to worry about being faithful and remaining faithful as the darkness descends, because that's where we're headed in the immediate. So make sure the prayer life is in good order. Make sure the faith is in good order. The faith isn't an emotional kind of thing, because all the emotions are going to be gone. It's just going to be the absolute fidelity to Jesus. And if we don't have that, we don't have to worry about living for 100 years. We just need to worry about getting until tomorrow. So just have faith and pray. You're not going to pray if you don't have faith. So that's what it has to come down to now. That total confidence. Don't look for signs and wonders. Don't look for the extraordinary. God is at work in the ordinary. He is not going to abandon you. He will never abandon you because he has promised that he will never abandon you, and he cannot lie. So don't abandon him, because that's where the trouble comes. It's not on his side, it's on our side. We're very weak, we're really pathetic, and we could abandon him in an instant. That's why we need to pray, because we cannot do this ourselves. So that's the key to this whole thing. The promises will all be fulfilled. But he wants to fulfill his promises in you. The only question then for each of us is, will we remain faithful to the promises that we have made to him?